हरिः
सहन भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तमाविद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, so page 168. Shlokana Sharanam, summary of verses. Prahlad Maharaj's compassion for all, 35 to 50. Nard Muni concludes the story of Jaya and Vijaya. 51 to 70, the battle between Lord Shiva and Maya Danava. Verses 134. In Bengali, the term for this is chechamechi. Yeah, this one is so much like a bunch of birds. Yeah. It's the Bengali's chechamechi. Exactly. Really it sounds like it, right?
Yeah. It's funny how five people can talk at once and then suddenly everyone starts laughing. Like, there is some kind of, it's not chaos, there is some kind of flow in it.
Yeah, it's called a, what do you call it? Fractals.
Yeah.
Okay, verses 1 to 34, Prahlad Maharaj's compassion for all. The Saint Nard Muni continued, although Prahlad Maharaj was only a boy, when he heard the benedictions offered by Lord Nrsingadev, he considered them impediments on the path of devotional service, right? Otherwise, you know, the young boys, generally, you know, anything that's nice or new or things is always considered, you know, something exciting, something special. He considered them impediments. Mm-hmm. Thus, he smiled very mildly and spoke as follows. Right, so he wasn't clapping his hands and jumping up and down. He just mildly smiled, because the Lord's trying to be kind and nice like this. Srila Prabhupada comments, material achievements are not the ultimate goal of devotional service. The ultimate goal of devotional service is love of Godhead. Therefore, although Prahlad Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj, Ambarish Maharaj, Yudhishthira Maharaj, and many devotee kings were materially very opulent, they accepted their material opulence in the service of the Lord, not for their personal sense gratification. Right? So the point is they take whatever the position, use it in the Lord's service. So therefore, whatever opulence they have, then, you know, that's there. They run the kingdom nicely, and they and that's done to serve the Lord. Hmm? That crash? It's Kadamba flowers falling off the tree onto the tin roof.
Yeah, yeah.
The tree's on our side, so they're stuck. So that's the whole thing, is that technically there's nothing that's pious that can't be engaged in the Lord's service. Like that. All the piety can be engaged. It's just a matter of the consciousness. Because if you see the fruitive aspect, of course, then it's all a waste of time. But all the different proper activities, proper understanding of knowledge, all these things, they're used in the Lord's service, then they become valuable. Otherwise, then they're just a nice waste of time instead of a stupid waste of time. That's the... Of course, possessing material opulence is always fearful because under the influence of material opulence, one may be misdirected from devotional service. Nonetheless, a pure devotee, anyabhi lashita shunyam, is never misdirected by material opulence. So the point is having the opulence, you could be misdirected, but these unalloyed devotees, they won't be misdirected. So it's that we have to worry about. Not say, oh, hey, Prahlad Maharaj, you know, had a whole kingdom, so then... But he's not going to be distracted. He has nothing, he's not distracted. Right? He's being harassed by his father, he's not distracted. He's put out there, you know, Lord Brahma tells him, you know, go to Nrsingadev. He's not, well, what am I going to say? Well, I don't know, you know, what if I say, you know, something stupid and all this and that? You really does have to be me, you know. He doesn't do that.
I'm not qualified.
Yeah, I'm not qualified. Like that. Hey, you got four heads. You know, you're going like that, you know, so. He doesn't do any of that. Doesn't matter the situation. Then when he's right after this, he's crowned king, you know, in place of his father, 5 years old. Mm. Generally at five, you'd have a regent, right? Because you'd be out playing and doing stupid stuff, right? So someone else until you were 16, then at 16 you'd be crowned. But here at five he's crowned. And he would be, practically speaking, more qualified than most any other king in the universe, right? Including Indra. You know, just because of his vision, his understanding, his sense of service to the Lord.
I was thinking when it says, thus he smiled very mildly and purposeful, it seems like if you're a pure devotee, all the culture comes naturally. It's not something you have to separately endeavor.
No.
It's just the natural expression of the
Because the point is you're seeing everything in connection to the Lord, so what's not to be nice about it? That's the whole point. So it's not that you have to think about it. It comes naturally. That's what we mean. You see it properly, then you know. You know something, then you naturally understand. Right? You know cooking, someone else is cooking. You can see what's wrong or what's right.
Indra, he doesn't have that.
No, because they're neophytes. So there'll be some of it, but that comes from their piety. That's the point, is they have all the good qualities, but it's come from their piety. They've had to work at it, cultivate it, you know, with knowledge and practice and all that. But the devotee, by doing devotional service, he naturally is qualified. So that's the thing. The more the devotional service develops, the more these qualities come. So if they're not there, then we don't worry about that. Because sometimes, like we see, the discussions come up that, you know, how is it that someone's advanced, but then there's these other qualities and all. These are just what's left of the anarthas. That's all. So, but when one comes to that completely pure platform, then these things go away. And especially when you come to the platform of prema, then there won't be any problems. Everything will be perfect. You know, so that's the idea, is that we know what is the standard and we work for that. At the same time, we're not disturbed by something that's not the standard. Right? It doesn't disturb our devotional service. Right? You know, otherwise it's that, oh, you know, the senior man, he's having trouble, so then what's my chance and all that, and then use that for an excuse to, you know, disappear. Like that. So these things don't come up. These aren't the. So it's very natural. Otherwise, then one has learned in it, one is trained in it, and then with time and practice, it also becomes quite natural. But it will be even more natural when it's coming from devotional service, right? Because the other one could be lost. Right? You're doing now. The situation continues. You behave in a good way. You know, that's natural. Situation changes, you may not. You know, like your standard, how you say, Western paradigm of nature and nurture.
Yes.
And then when they have they try to affect that. They take the person that is in the good position because he's been in a good association, put them in the bad one, and take the person that's come from a bad one and put him in the good one. And at least according to their theory, then you know, just by being there, everything becomes perfect, and the other one becomes a real rat bag, you know. But whether anybody's actually done that, but it's a, you know, great story. So the point is that it can be lost because it's only cultivated, but it's not like devotional service where you're acting the cultivation there. Has an eternal effect. The other one simply has the effect now. You're cultivating goodness, you get goodness. You stop, you lose it. And it's gone. But for the devotee, he cultivates devotional service. He has that. If somehow or another he stops, it may appear he doesn't, but as soon as he starts again, he's immediately back on the same platform. That's very important. That's why I say, oh, senior devotee, he fell down. But the point is if he takes up devotional service again, where will he be? The same position. That's the whole point. So nothing's lost. It's just Maya's...
You say it's like a bike rider who is in a crash. If he gets up from the crash, he's still as good a bike rider as before the crash.
Yeah, yes, of course.
That ability doesn't
help. Or you could also take it that you learn to ride a bicycle, and even if you don't ride for 20, 30 years, you can still ride the bicycle.
Hence the proverb, it's like riding a bicycle.
Yeah. Okay. So that's the On the contrary, whatever he possesses, he engages 100% in the service of the Lord. When one is allured by material possessions, they are considered to be given by Maya. But when one uses material possessions fully for service, they are considered God's gifts or facilities offered by Krishna for enhancing one's devotional service. So that, does that make sense? So that way you're using Krishna's service nicely on a steady basis. That's understood, that's given by Krishna. And that which distracts you from Krishna consciousness, that's understood, that's given by Maya. Right? So that's the test. Getting facility, does it distract us, or are we able to engage it nicely, you know, steadily in Krishna's service? So the concept of something being sustainable or consistent, that's a Vedic principle, right? That's the meaning of being steady in something, fixed in devotional service. Right? So that's it. You see, by that facility you become fixed and it's stable, then you understand that's given by Krishna. But if you want something, you get it, and then you get distracted, then we understand that was Maya.
The same thing can be both.
So, in other words, it's given by Maya for Krishna's service, and if you use it in Krishna's service, you get that effect, but if you don't, it's still, it's still Maya's involved. It means Prabhupada mentions that Krishna is always arranging. These are, what do you call it? Yes. Got distracted by the bird, by the wizard. Yeah. So that means that was by Maya.
That was that. Okay.
The bird's Maya. So bird's not the word then. But bird's Maya.
The bird's
Okay. Again. Prabhupada mentions that for the neophyte devotee, or that Krishna is giving facility for the devotee, he's doing service, but it's through the arrangement of Maya. You know, so it's not that Krishna is just going to walk up and hand you, you know, like that. You know, so, but more advanced, then we might see, like Prahlad Maharaj, then Krishna himself personally gives it. But for everyone else, then Maya is the agent, though it's not from Maya.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You understand? It's from Krishna. It's just she's the agent, since she's the one managing, so she'll deliver it.
Cool.
Yeah. Yes, so we see is that there's devotees where he personally, as Bhagavan, gives. Otherwise, as Paramatma, he arranges through the material energy that you get it. But it still comes anyway. You know, so many times devotees will be, there'll be something, and just out of the blue, something happens. You know, and that many times it's just some karmi. You know, and they get some important information or something, or, you know, just like that. So you understand it's Krishna's arranged that, but, you know, it's come via the material energy. But we don't count it that it's given by Maya. So here what it's meaning is that it's given by Maya means it's her arrangement. Means this, of course, authorized by Krishna, means she already knows what to do. He doesn't have to each thing say, you know, yeah, no, yeah, no, like that. No. He can blink his eye again, yeah, yeah. What about again? No, yes, no, he can do it. No. It's already, she knows what to do. She's authorized to take care. So when the variety of the 8,400,000 material, you know, concepts of material existence, she's authorized to carry that out. So that's what I mean by given by Maya. You have a material desire, Maya fulfills that desire in such a way that you're more in Maya.
So
does that make sense? So that's the difference between given by Maya or given by Krishna through the agency of Maya.
So then blinking of the eye, Maya and the demigod in charge of blinking of the eye and super soul. What's the deal here?
I mean, he gives the potency that the eye can blink.
Yes.
You know, the demigod's in you know, charge of it, you know, sitting there. I'm not sure if he's sitting there pushing the button. Or, you know, whatever it is. I don't know. He's got lots of guys working for him. They're all sitting there.
I mean, it's like these farms in China. They have people playing video games all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
They're just clicking and then they can sell whatever it is.
Yeah, yeah.
And maybe we could do that for a few lifetimes again. And so Maya carries it out.
Yes. Thank you. Okay, yes.
Yeah.
So the point is, that's the potency of the Lord. That's what is able to carry out all these things. That's what's special. Prahlad Maharaj said, "My dear Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, because I was born in an atheistic family, I am naturally attached to material enjoyment. Therefore, kindly do not tempt me with these illusions. I am very much afraid of material conditions, and I desire to be liberated from materialistic life. It is for this reason that I have taken shelter of your lotus feet." Okay. So, here we see, as before, he was saying, he's not afraid of Maya. And Prabhupada is saying that only a fool is afraid of the material energy. But at the same time, here he says he's afraid, he's very much afraid, material conditions. So the point is of the consciousness, it means that may develop. It's not that material energy is a problem, because he sees it only in connection with the Lord. So if you don't see it in connection with the Lord, that's the fool's vision. And so therefore one becomes afraid of this situation or that, or will I gain, or I have, will I lose? You know, all these different things. So that's the one thing that it's talking about, where one does not have proper understanding or knowledge. So then that's one aspect of fear. The other is that fear of how you can be distracted from Krishna consciousness because of the desire to control and enjoy. That's another thing. That's valid. Does that make sense? Okay. Srila Prabhupada comments, "Materialistic life means attachment to the body and everything in relationship to the body. This attachment is based on lusty desires for sense gratification, specifically sexual enjoyment. Kamais tai ster hurita jnana, Bhagavad Gita 7:20. When one is too attached to material enjoyment, he is bereft of all knowledge, hurita jnana." Right? So all knowledge means one, all knowledge means knowledge of the complete whole. So you don't know about the Supreme Lord. But we see is if lust increases, even just your material knowledge gets lost. So even the most intelligent person can... what do you call it? What's the term? Formal term? Lack of discrimination? Or there's a term that they use. Like people that... you know, someone's in a responsible position and something goes wrong. And then when they're, you know, how you say, being honest about that position, they lack of judgment.
Temporary
lack of judgment.
Lapse of judgment.
Lapse of judgment. like that. It's not an excuse. They were just saying, I wasn't you, because the point is they're in the position you expect them to be qualified. Yeah. They didn't act in that qualified way. That was a lapse of judgment. Right. So that's the whole point, is then it says is that he is bereft of all knowledge because of material desire. So you increase the material desire, all knowledge goes, because the desires connect with the mind with the senses. So where's the intelligence coming? Right. So therefore, using intelligence means, the idea of intelligence is means here's our the options to take. Then the proper options, then the mind's choosing from that. But if the mind is just making choices without using the intelligence, that's based on desire. Right? And if we're using intelligence, then we're choosing what would be appropriate.
That would be the false ego, the ego.
Yes, yes. If you think we're the enjoyer, then that means the mind's going to make decisions based on that.
Yeah.
Right? Because the mind's going to make the decision. The ego doesn't make the decision. The intelligence doesn't make the decision.
What does the ego do then?
The ego is your existence.
No, but I seem to remember that, you know, Thakur, he makes this five-step run through the...
Yes, but who's making the decision? In other words, mind, intelligence, false ego is basically one thing.
Yeah.
It's mind.
Sure.
Then the subsections are intelligence and false ego. Right. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
so the false ego is the subtlest.
Yeah.
Because that's your identity, how you see yourself.
But as I remember it, the intelligence creates options. But
yes.
Then the false ego...
No, it's based on the false ego, you make a decision. But who makes the decision?
It's still
the mind.
So that when we say decision, we're talking about actually sending the signal to the active senses.
No, that's the fifth stage. That's after that. You have to make a decision, then you...
That's also the...
Yes.
Okay.
The whole thing's the mind.
Yeah, but
that's why I say it's the psychological process.
Mm-hmm.
But the first stage and the last stage, that's manas.
Yes.
Because that means it's the mind that connected with the senses.
Yes.
So the mind that operates the senses just deals with the mechanics of that. It's not dealing with the samskar.
Mm-hmm.
So the information coming in, that's manas. But then what to do with that information, that will be chitta. That will be the mind in the form of the your impressions. Right? Then you're going to go into the, how you say, the intelligence, you know, with memory to see what was previous things. And then if the intelligence has further, you know, based on that, what to do. Then, depending upon your identity, then you'll make a choice, appropriate choice.
Yes.
This is all still, that's still the chitta.
Yeah.
Then, having made the choice, now the manas will then take the information back out through the senses and perform the activity.
Can the manas object at this time?
Manas doesn't object. Manas is just, this is what's going on.
Sure.
You know, there's smoke over there.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like, oh no, there's smoke, or wow, great, there's smoke.
So,
you know,
so accepting and rejecting, that's the chitta?
The chitta, yeah. The manas is just information's coming in through the senses, and you can perceive it because of the mind. Otherwise, how do you know what the fingers are doing?
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? Because the mind, then you understand. Does that make sense? Yeah. Now, that false ego, now if you see, I am servant of Krishna, then you'll choose those options that that match that. If you think I'm the controller and enjoyer, you'll take those ones. Now, as a devotee, then what's my position? What am I doing? This and that. What's my duties? Then I'll make choices within that. And if I'm the controller and enjoyer, what kind of controller and enjoyer? You know what I'm saying? You know, if I'm the guy there that tells the crass jokes and laughs with a mouthful of food while things are falling out and whacks the guy next to me on the back and bangs the things on the table and everybody thinks it's great, then I do that. And if you're more sophisticated, even though you could do that, you don't. Is that some sense? So that's the whole point of the false ego. Yes.
Manas would be nakshatra.
Manas would be nakshatra. No, manas is just the mind. Nakshatras may have influence on the mind. But it would be on your decision making. What you're going to do, that'll be on your chitta, on the polluted consciousness. Because with that will come your identity. You know, oh, I'm a, you know, how you say, Capricorn. Are we a Capricorn? Is the soul a Capricorn? Like that, you know. He means 1/10,000 the tip of the hair, but these really cool, spirally kind of, you know, horns, huh? Like that. Or the other thing is if you have one of those spirally things like that and you cut the end off of it and you can blow it, then it's...
I'm sure the soul is like that.
Yeah, then that soul really thinks he's... Yes. Okay. The manas just is the connection between the senses that and the mind, so that the through the gross body, then through the senses, then it comes to the mind. Then the mind deals with it. That's the chitta.
Because I just remember from Sukhothan Maharaj, he was saying that the chitta defines the movements of the soul.
The subtle body, yes, but we're talking here is manas simply means that where the mind is working with the senses. But where the consciousness is there and you're making your decisions, that's chitta. It's two aspects of the mind. That's all the subtle body. So yes, the nakshatra influences that. That's what defines actually more. That's why in the Vedic system, the ancient Vedic system, the nakshatra was the more important element in the chart. We'll say nowadays the moon, but of the moon, the nakshatra. But nowadays they don't put so much emphasis on the nakshatra. It's too subtle. Right? Because then you have to understand 27 different mental states. You know, and who wants to do that? You know what I'm saying? Because neither the person looking at it will get into it, and even if he does, who's the person he can tell? You know what I'm saying? So that's the thing. People don't deal with it, though that's the tradition. Okay. Prahlad Maharaj continued, "O my worshipable Lord, because the seed of lusty desires, which is the root cause of material existence, is within the core of everyone's heart, you have sent me to this material world to exhibit the symptoms of a pure devotee." Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur elaborates.
I missed that one too. Sorry.
Okay, because before you said, no, I've done... I was thinking, wow, this is great. And then you go, no, I've done them all.
Just to prove me wrong, there they are.
Right back at you.
I'll be more diligent.
Okay. Yeah, okay. But I'm happy with the Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur.
Okay, good.
Yeah, rather than just, you know, how you say, VCT or something.
Oh, yeah. You won't catch me doing that.
Okay. You know, if it was Australian, then, hey, bitch. Do I actually tempt my devotees? No, you simply show the world the highest steadiness of your devotee. Your intention is to show the quality of your devotee when you say to him, "Why do you not accept the benedictions I offer? O Lord, most capable, since you are omniscient, you do not need to know anything, and you cannot be curious. Rather, you are making everyone else know." So, it's not that he's testing. Like, it'll generally be tested. Oh, he's testing. No, he's not. He knows everything, so he's not curious. He's actually making it so others can appreciate the position. Right? So we both see is that there's no interest in these things. So Prahlad Maharaj is showing that. And then the other examples, Yudhishthira Maharaj and these others, then they're showing how to engage everything in the Lord's service, so they're never distracted. So you get both examples. Right? So that's what's glorious. Not that, oh, they're doing it, I should have it. And it's not, it's just, see, despite these things, they're not getting distracted. Right? They're not desiring, but they come anyway. Does that make sense? Srila Prabhupada adds, "The Lord Himself has no desire to send His pure devotees to this material world, nor does a devotee have any material purpose in coming. When the Lord himself appears as an incarnation within this material world, he is not allured by the material atmosphere, and he has nothing to do with material activity. Yet, by his example, he teaches the common man how to become a devotee. Right? Because what are the activities? That's the advantage of, if you have the common ground of the Vedic activities, right? What's recommended is the Dinacharya. So the natural nitya kriyas that of people follow. Then the point is that the great devotees, they'll come, they'll live that lifestyle. The Lord himself will come, he'll live that lifestyle. So then we're very easily able to see what's a proper example, what would be the standard. Right? So the standard's not the lifestyle. That's the whole thing. Oh, we don't care about this, you know, the devotion is more important. Yes. But the point is the devotion is expressed in what you do with the lifestyle. You understand? Because we're looking at it, existence or not. But what about, you know, the actual getting results and all that? So the point is what you do with it's more important than whether you have it or not. You know, think, oh, he has this, he has to be a materialist. Mm-hmm. No, it's what he does with it. That makes him a materialist or not. Right? The amount of wealth Yudhishthir has, if we looked at it that way, we'd have to say he's a really gross materialist. But it's what he does with it. That's what makes the point. does that make sense? Similarly, a devotee who comes here in accordance with the order of the Supreme Lord shows by his personal behavior how to become a pure devotee. A pure devotee, therefore, is a practical example for all living entities, including Lord Brahma. Right? So how is it practical? It's when it's showing how to be a devotee, but how? By engaging your lifestyle, body, mind, and words in the Lord's service. Right? So where do the doubts come up is where I'm not following a practical lifestyle. You know, the regulated or the recommended lifestyle. And so because of that, it becomes unclear, should I be doing this or should I be doing that? Does that make sense? Yeah, just like, let's say, one is in the temple, one is doing puja at the time, you know, involved in some aspect of the puja. One needs to go to the bathroom. You go to the bathroom. After going to the bathroom, would you wash your hands, mouth, and feet? Would it be a question of not? No, it's just standard. Now, let's say I'm at home, and it's night, and I go to the bathroom, and I have my socks on.
And they're warm.
You understand? Now is when we start asking, well, is it actually necessary? And is it, you know, wouldn't that be fanatical? But about this? You understand? So when we're doing just the natural lifestyle, that's then there's no question. Everybody will agree with that. But then when we're outside of that, that's where the questions come. That's why if there's one lifestyle, then everybody's following that. There's no problem there. Now the question, the real question comes is, what are you doing with it? That's the meaning of, it's not the Vedic lifestyle, it's about the devotion. Because the devotion is what you're doing with the Vedic lifestyle. But it doesn't put a doubt on the lifestyle itself. That's for impersonalists. They think, oh, okay, spiritual means no activity. So I drop the activity, right? And then Prabhupada mentions about the impersonalists and the Buddhists. They actually encourage sense gratification. Because if you drop the standard, then what do? You replace it with what? I'm the controller and enjoyer. So yeah, whatever you come up with, that how I will be. So it's not understood is that not accepting the Vedic version actually encourages sense gratification. And accepting the Vedic version, you can get distracted by that, but that's not because of the Vedic version. That's because we're already distracted. We think we're the controller and enjoyer. You know what I'm saying? It means if you can get distracted in the spiritual world and think you're the controller and enjoyer and therefore come here, then why can't we get distracted while we're here? You know? It's just practical. So it's not the Vedic. The point is it isn't about that. That's why it's just, this is what everybody does. Then it's about what you do. Does that make sense? That's the point. Is that if you have the same rules, everybody's playing the same game, so then it's a matter of what's the excellence or lack of excellence of how you're doing it. But if we're always arguing over the rules, then we have a problem. So, Prahlad Maharaj continued. Otherwise, my Lord, O Supreme Instructor of the entire world, you are so kind to your devotee that you could not induce him to do something unbeneficial for him. On the other hand, one who desires some material benefit in exchange for devotional service cannot be your pure devotee. Indeed, he is no better than a merchant who wants profit in exchange for service. Footnote 44. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur assigns this verse to Bhagavad Arkramrichi Mala, chapter 14, entitled Analysis of Unfavorable Conditions for Bhakti. Bhakti Pratikulya Vichar, which is in the Abhideya section of the book. So, in other words, doing bhakti with the idea that you'll gain material benefit, that's rejected. Right? We may, in the position of mixed devotion, want to please Krishna, but at the same time we also have material desire. That's another thing. That will also get in the way, but that just means we're just not so fixed in devotional service. It's not that we're looking at it as one is a merchant. You understand? But for oneself, in the analyzation of one's own devotional service, one may look at it that way. Right? But when we're looking at others, generally we wouldn't. You didn't catch. How about if I said it the other way? If others are doing this, then they're like merchants, but if you're doing it yourself, then, you know, it's just, you know, the heart is not completely pure, and but you're trying... Okay, that makes sense. Okay, yeah. Hey, wait a minute. What do you mean? It means you're making the distinction here is the goal pure devotional service. And if it is, even though one's not pure, it's still counted as devotional service. But it has a weakness in it because of the material distraction. Right? But if we're performing the service and expect from that we'll get some material benefit, that's like a merchant. That's considered low grade. But better that than desiring that and not going to the Lord. Right? So at least you're a pious merchant.
Yeah. But if your goal is devotional service, on the way you have smaller goals.
Yes, but it's just a matter as if you're focusing on that because I'm doing the service, I'll get that smaller goal. That's business. If it's a matter of I want to serve Krishna, I want to please Him, but I also want to accomplish this, that's what we mean by mixed. So it's just, it's progressive, but it's not as progressive as if it was pure. Right? Because when we say pure, then we're meaning you're fixed in devotional service. But the actual perfection of pure is prema. Right? So, one, it's when one gets to that pure state, it's very close. But still, one can't sit back. You know, like that. So, yes?
It's the same as maintaining material affections, you know, have in the morning.
Yes, these, you're maintaining them is that you're trying to cultivate them. That should be. If you're trying to get rid of them, but you still have them, that's not an offense. That's just lack. One's not purified. Right? That's the difference between offensive chanting and nama bas. Right? Offensive means it's actually you're dedicated to. You see, nama bas means they may be there, but you're trying. Your focus is on pure devotion, though you may not be very good at it. Right? So therefore, you'll be humble about your desires. Someone who they want those desires is like, what's wrong? You know, what do you know? You know, that kind of thing. Right? You know, no one said anything, and Prahlad Maharaj was saying all this stuff. So.
Yeah. in the same way is accepting the concept of pure bhakti in theory. When it comes to life, they're saying that we have to be merchants, otherwise we won't survive.
We have to be?
Merchants, because otherwise we won't survive.
And all the merchants are surviving. You know how many businesses close every day? Yeah, so what does that mean, we have to be merchants? No, but the point is, as they say they have to be a merchant, that means you have to get stuff from Krishna. You have to exchange your bhakti for material benefits, otherwise you won't survive. How do they define survive? They say, well, if I don't have this, I can't pay the bills. How much are the bills? Okay? Now, you can go around the city and find people that have bills half of that amount. So they've defined that this is survival. You know what I'm saying? So, what does that mean, they're being practical?
It reminds me of this last time when Duryodhana approached Mahesh Shatadev to ask when to perform this yagya to win the Kurukshetra war. And he said it exactly on the advice.
Sahadev. He's the astrologer.
He was honest to tell it to his enemy, because that's the opposite, like, Dominical. So he was honest.
Right.
Some devotees are thinking that they can be merchants, even within the Dominical activities, just because they have to survive.
No, but my point is this, what does survive mean?
Maintaining social status.
Yes, so but what does that have to do with actual survival? You know what I'm saying? They define their material desire and say they have to do that. No, okay. Then if you have to do that, then accept that it's a lower grade of devotional service. We're not saying that mixed devotional service is not a reality and people don't have material desires they have to take care of. Just admit that it's not an advanced position. But if you're trying to say, no, I'm just as good as everybody else, that's cheating. That's the cheating part. You know, people have material desires. It happens. But you have to be aware of what they are, not try to, you know, how you say, rationalize them. Oh, I'm just being a merchant, you know, just like it says here. You know, like that. But the point is, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says this is bhakti pratikul vichar. This is the analysis of what's unfavorable. So you can't say is that I'm being devotional. It's unfavorable. The point is then you're also saying I'm maintaining myself rather than Krishna's maintaining. Point is, we perform our duties and whatever results come from that, we're maintained. We say, no, I want this standard. But if you perform your duties and that comes, great. But if you perform your duties and it doesn't come, that's what it's going to be.
Can we call it unfavorably devotion?
Unfavorably devotion. Unfavorably devotion. A devotion to the unfavorable, maybe? You know, it's just like he's having a problem while someone else in 10 minutes, just by, you know, existing, they make $30 million. You know what I'm saying? So the point is it's you put in your effort, whatever you're going to get, that's all it is. So if we're looking at the material, then look at it properly. What is your karma? What would you get for that much work? So then make your life according to that. If we're talking about devotion, then we have to focus on devotion. Now, if Krishna wants to increase that or decrease it, that's up to him. Is that okay?
Devotee Krishna in the mood, like, I have been so sick, I'm like so materially contaminated, I need your mercy, like I'm dying, I'm suffering. Like,
that's fine, but the mercy for what?
To get the love of Krishna, right?
Yes, so then what's the problem with that? If it's I'm dying, I'm this and that, so, you know, at least just for, you know, some time, you know, can't I, you know, how you say, be, how you say, as healthy as, you know, Mr. Universe, and as beautiful as Miss Universe, and, you know, how you say, as wealthy as, you know, the, what is it called, Sultan of Brunei, and, you know, like that. So if that's what, then we have a problem.
It's like, how does Krishna?
Not bad, right?
I didn't think about this.
Just, wow.
I didn't do this.
I've been what do you call it? Restricting myself.
Wasting my life.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I didn't even think about that. You said, any more?
Keep going.
No, we'll just stop there. We'll stop there.
So if you're posting Krishna in the mood of like begging for his like to learn how to love him, then
what's the problem?
That's okay.
Yes, it is okay. It is okay because it's not material. If I want material facility or to get out of the material world because it's a miserable place, that you can say is material. But if we just want to develop love for Krishna, then what's the problem? It's not that we're asking for something is the problem. It's what we ask for is the problem.
Well, like even wanting physical health, is that a material thing? Because the body is material, right?
The thing is we're not asking for health, we're asking for service. And so then health just comes along with it. You know what I'm saying? When you order the sandwich, it comes along with the other stuff. It comes with that funny little wax paper thingy, you know, all the jazz like that. You know, you don't go to the counter and say, hey, when you give me a sandwich, can you give me one of those, you know, that wax paper kind of thing, you know, you guys, you know, do the wrap-up thing. He says, yeah, yeah, no, that comes, of course. No, but I just want to make sure.
So does that desire become, like, purified? Do they actually have to serve Krishna and then remain there? Everything's, like, you need. If your intention really is to get that purified and say, I really want to learn how to serve you correctly.
Yes, but that's the focus. Then other things, then that will come with time. One's supposed to be healthy, one will. One's not, one won't. So why be in anxiety? Because one of the causes of sickness is anxiety. Okay. Srila Prabhupada comments, it is sometimes found that one comes to a devotee or a temple of the Lord just to get some material benefit. Such a person is described here as a mercantile man. Bhagavad Gita speaks of arto jigyasur artarti. The word arta refers to one who is physically distressed, and artarti refers to one in need of money. Such persons are forced to approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead for mitigation of their distress or to get some money by the benediction of the Lord. They have been described as Sukriti, pious, because in their distress or need for money they have approached the Supreme Lord. Unless one is pious, one cannot approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead. However, although a pious man may receive some material benefit, one who is concerned with material benefits cannot become a pure devotee. Right? So in other words, you've approached the Lord, that's pious, but maintaining that kind of mentality, you won't become a pure devotee. That's why it says one has to go from these three into jnani, whereas actually you want to know about the Lord. It has to be about that relationship with the Lord, knowing the Lord. That then will take you on to the Madhyama platform. But these others, they will tend not to. Right? Does that make sense? Because you're maintaining that desire, so that's what will get in the way. Right? That's what we're pointing out from this side. But the point is they're pious. They've approached the Lord, and so that will gradually develop into, if they continue the process as recommended, understand the position of pure devotion, then it will gradually turn into pure devotion. You'll give up that desire. Because you perform service, so knowledge and detachment comes. And from that knowledge and detachment, then we start to see the unimportance. Does that make sense?
Can we say that a person, for example, can be madhyam in some areas, in kanishtha?
Yes, you'll find that.
So that's called madhyam kanishtha and all those, or kanishtha madhyam?
It depends. What's the prominent? You know what I'm saying? Because in one sense you can say, depending on how you want to do it, then you could say that the one on Nishta is the Kanishta Madhyam. And then someone in Ruchi is the Madhyam Madhyam, and someone in Shakti is the Uttam Madhyam. Like that. You can also say like that. Because it just means, what? Basically, if the prominence is Madhyama, that's counted in that way. But their weakness, that we would call that an artist. Right? Because Prabhupada is saying 75%. That means then you're situated, you're nishta. Right? So then that means 25% is not actually up to the standard. So we wouldn't say that 25% is neophyte. We'll say they're a Madhyama, but this 25 is still to be worked on. Does that make sense? Yeah. You know, so the same way as also someone's a neophyte, there may be some areas where they're actually advancing very nicely, but in other areas they're a problem. So if the prominence is the problem, then they're a neophyte. But if the advancement is the prominent, then we'll say they're a Madhyama. Prahlad Maharaj continued, a servant who desires material profits from his master is certainly not a qualified servant or pure devotee. Similarly, a master who bestows benedictions upon his servant because of a desire to maintain a prestigious position as master is also not a pure master. So that's the point, is that it's not just services done so that's being reciprocated nicely. He's making arrangements so that he'll be in a prestigious position. So is that what I'm saying? Yeah. Yes. Oh my Lord, I am your unmotivated servant, and you are my eternal master. There is no need of our being anything other than master and servant. You are naturally my master, and I am naturally your servant. We have no other relationship. Srila Prabhupada comments. Unless the relationship between the Supreme Lord and the subordinate living entity is established, there can be no real happiness. The living entity is Ashraya, always subordinate, and the Supreme Lord is always Vishaya, the supreme objective, the goal of life. Okay? So in this way, they're using objective, meaning the goal of life. If we're talking about the dynamic within the relationship, then Krishna is the subject, we're the object. You know, because there it's not, that's not the not the goal that you're trying to get. Because in that, then the dative is the goal. You understand? So in the grammatical, then Krishna is the supreme object, Radharani is the supreme subject. Right? Excuse me, he's the supreme subject, she's the supreme object. But when we're looking at it from here, in this point, we're using the Vishaya and Ashraya. He is the supreme object. And he's always subordinate.
So the grammatical is the tattva, and here we're talking rasa, basically.
No, it would be more, this is the tattva, the other is the rasa.
Okay.
Because here we're trying to make Krishna the supreme goal. But when you're on the platform of pure devotional service where Krishna is the supreme goal, and one's interacting in relationship, in rasa, then your goal is Krishna, but what's Krishna's goal? The devotee. So therefore it reverses. But it's pleasing him to make the devotee the object. So he's still the subject. He's still the enjoyer. He's enjoying making the devotee the center of attention. In a sense, that's the point. So he's doing it as the enjoyer. We're doing the same thing, making Krishna the center as servant. So that's why we're the ashray, he's the vishray. But the principle is the same. That's why it becomes confusing, because these words are common. I mean, it'll get less and less as we go, because as we get the 10th canto, there'll be more discussion of this. When we get the Chaitanya Charitamrita, then this will be a very prominent discussion. Yeah. Yes.
So it means in the spiritual world, Krishna is the supreme subject, Radharani is the supreme object.
Yeah.
And here it reverses, Krishna is object and Jiva is the subject.
No. Krishna is the subject and object.
And Jiva?
We're subordinate. No, it's two different kinds of categories. You understand? One is you're looking at what's the subject and object, and then there's the verb, what's connecting them. So we're talking about rasa. Here we're talking about how Krishna is the supreme enjoyer and we're subservient to fulfilling his desire. So that makes him the object of all of our endeavors. You know what I'm saying? But we're not looking at it that we're the subject, that means we're the doer. Because when you say the subjective is the one who's doing. But we're looking at it, no, we're only the instrument. Because we have to remember, we're instrumental in this, always. Right? So here we're an instrument, in the spiritual world we're an instrument. So it's this, you know, in other words, there's two different aspects we're looking at. Means the ultimate goal is Krishna. So in that way we're saying he's the objective. Right? But when we're saying of a specific action like that, then the point is if Krishna in his pastimes, he's trying to accomplish something. So something else is the objective. For us, Krishna is the objective, but for Krishna, you know, his interaction with the devotees is the objective. Does that make sense? As soon as a devotee wants the Supreme Personality of Godhead to be his order supplier, the Lord immediately refuses to become the master of such a motivated devotee. Right, so Krishna is free to choose. This is what Jaimini leaves out. He thinks, no, I've done it, I deserve this. So that means he's the order supplier. So Krishna is not the master of the karmas. Like that. So that's the point. Then just the modes of nature take care. You know, because master, that's quite personal, like this. So here it's just the modes of nature take care, so Maya takes care. So in this way we say, Maya's the master. Okay. We'll think, I'm enjoying material nature, but actually, she's the master. You know, as it was pointed out before.
So that's directly connected with the merchant type mentality?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So, more merchant, less master. Less merchant, more master. Yeah, so it's just, what do you want? You want merchandise or you want master? Now, the master's got merchandise, so if you want the master, then everything's taken care of. But if you want the merchandise without the master, then that's where you have a problem. That doesn't mean you think, well, he's got everything if I get him.
That's
yeah, yeah. That won't work either. Prahlad Maharaj continued, "Oh my Lord, best of the givers of benediction, if you at all want to bestow a desirable benediction upon me, then I pray from your lordship that within the core of my heart there be no material desires. Oh my Lord, because of lusty desires from the very beginning of one's birth, the function of one's senses, mind, life, body, religion, patience, intelligence, shyness, opulence, strength, memory, and truthfulness are vanquished." Srila Prabhupada comments, materialistic life means that one is afflicted by a formidable disease called lusty desire. Liberation means freedom from lusty desires. Right? So the nature of the soul won't be to have lusty desires. So if they have that, that's actually a diseased condition. For the soul to think I'm the controller and enjoyer, that's a diseased condition. Right? And so then devotional service is the cure. And then the best part is having done, then it's also the process, it's the goal, it's everything. So it's not that you have to... The medicine is so nice that you can keep taking it. You don't have to worry about it. Mm-hmm.
Subsist on the medicine alone.
Yeah.
Illegal medicine.
Yeah. Liberation means freedom from lusty desires because it is only due to such desires that one must accept repeated birth and death. As long as one's lusty desires are unfulfilled, one must take birth after birth to fulfill them. Because of material desires, therefore, one performs various types of activities and receives various types of bodies with which to try to fulfill desires that are never satisfied. Right? So unless your desire is satisfied, you have to take birth. But you keep taking birth because desires cannot be satisfied. So it's a problem. So only by devotional service then we can give up the desire to fulfill material desires. Right? Because that's actually what one's giving up. One's giving up the desire to desire material things. Right? Does that make sense? So desire doesn't go away. It's just what the desire. Like he says, I desire that in the core of my heart there's no material desire. So desire is not a problem. Or attachment to the Lord. So attachment's not the problem. It's attachment to the mundane. So if we desire the mundane, we're attached to the mundane, it's a problem. We desire that service to the Lord or free, you know, to not have material desire, and we're attached to the Lord, then what's the problem? Right? So we maintain our nature, our personal nature, but at the same time as we give up the mundane. So, unalloyed devotion to the service of the Lord is the only spiritual desire. To fulfill this spiritual desire, however, one must be free from all material desires. Because right? It's the one or the other. It means there's only, you have one consciousness. So if it's full of material desire, where will you put the spiritual desire? If it's full of spiritual desire, there's no room for material. Right? So mixed means there's both happening at once, so it'll always be a problem. Desirelessness means freedom from material desires. Mayavadi philosophers want to become impersonal, senseless, and mindless, but that is not possible. The living entity must be living, always existing with desires, ambitions, and so on. Right? That was why the point of engaging one's ambitions in the Lord's service. Right? What do you want to do for Krishna? Because ambition is the natural need of the living entity. It's just that ambition should be within the sphere of what's recommended. Right?
Can we say it should be going towards?
Its point is, so it should be going towards Krishna, facing Krishna.
Yeah, because we have this weird condition.
Yeah, because let's say we're going to the heavenly planets or the Brahman, then we're going towards Krishna, facing away from Krishna. You understand? But we don't want to be going away from Krishna while we're facing him.
No.
Yeah, that we want to avoid also. Yes.
That's this mentality, would be going away from Krishna, facing him. Keeping material desires, we face Krishna,
Basically, it would be, if it's pious, we'd be standing in one place. If it's impious, that would be taking it a bit backwards. These should be purified, right? The desires, the ambition, and so on. Mm-hmm. However, so that one can desire spiritually and be spiritually ambitious without material contamination. Right? So spiritual ambition without material contamination. So we may want to do something for Krishna, but we have to see that there's no material contamination in that endeavor. Otherwise, then we'll get a mixed result. Right? We're doing it for Krishna, but at the same time, there's some material need, and so then there's a problem. Right? In every living entity, these propensities exist because he is a living entity. So that someone has desires, that's because they're a living entity. So we're thinking, no, they should just be squeaky clean and all this. That tends to be the impersonal. So people have problems, people, you know, things go nice, and this and that, will have difficulty with that. You know, it's got to be all good or all bad. But that there's variety, that's a problem. Why? Because it's personal. And what's our problem? Being impersonal. That's the... A lot...
Desire. Desire.
Right.
So then, when you speak about desires, some devotees are getting confused in the way that I do desire,
to come back to Godhead.
But that's what we were just talking about. Is that the desire is not the problem. It's whether it's being used in Krishna's service or not. So Prabhupada's point is that because they're a living entity, they have desire, they have need, they have ambitions, they have the need for endeavor and relationships. That's just the need because they're a living entity. It's what you do with them. They're directed towards Krishna, then that's proper. They're not directed towards Krishna, that's the problem. So we think, oh no, you have to be desireless means you can't want anything, you know, on any platform, then that's impersonal.
That means we're supposed to have a limited desire to serve Krishna.
Yes, but even if you just have one and can stick to that, that'll work. And if you can extend it to unlimited, then great. Yeah, you understand. So, yeah. Even one's good enough. Yeah. So, yeah. Prahlad Maharaj concluded, "O my Lord, when a human being is able to give up all the material desires in his mind, he becomes eligible to possess wealth and opulence like yours." Right, so if you want wealth and opulence, you have to give up the desire for it. Then you can have it. But as long as you want it, you won't get it. So if you're saying, how come I'm not getting it? Because you still want it. As soon as you give up wanting it, then you can have it. So that's the problem. That's why you can still say, yes, it's mercantile, but it's material. O my Lord, full of six opulences, O Supreme Person, O Supreme Soul, killer of all miseries, O Supreme Person in the form of a wonderful lion and man, let me offer my respectful obeisances unto you. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "My dear Prahlad, a devotee like you never desires any kind of material opulences, either in this life or in the next. Nonetheless, I order you to enjoy the opulences of the demons in this material world, acting as their king until the end of the duration of time occupied by Manu. It does not matter that you are in the material world. You should always continuously hear the instructions and messages given by me, and always be absorbed in thought of me, for I am the Supersoul existing in the core of everyone's heart. Therefore, give up fruitive activities and worship me." Right, one would say, well, this sounds contradictory. He says giving up fruitive activity, but he's saying you should take order to enjoy the opulences of the demons. But the point is he's not materially enjoying. He's simply accepting the facilities of the demons and using it in Krishna's service, always remembering. So it's not that he'll just go off to the forest. No, he wants him to be the king of the demons, so that way then things would go a little nicer. Right? Because not having a good king, then they end up giving so much trouble to the universe. But if they have a proper king, you know, then things will stay proper. Right? My dear Prahlad, while you are in the material world, you will exhaust all reactions of pious activity by feeling happiness. And by acting piously, you will neutralize impious activity. Because of the powerful time factor, you will give up your body, but the glories of your activities will be sung in the upper planetary systems. And being fully freed from all bondage, you will return home back to Godhead. Footnote 45. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura assigns verse 13 to Bhagavat Arkamarichi Mala, chapter 15, entitled Analysis of Favorable Conditions for Bhakti, Bhakti Anukulya Vichar, which is in the Abhideya section of the Thakura's book. But so, here is that by acting piously, then you'll give up all the impious. It means all the impious reactions will go away by your acting in a pious way. Because they're going to act in a pious way without desire for the result. Right? And by taking all the different facilities and engaging them properly in service, one will be happy with that. That's how then he'll neutralize that side. Right? So does that make sense? So all pious activities will go away by engaging them in the Krishna service. They'll be, you know, happy doing that. And by performing the duties without desire for the results, that he'll give up all the sinful. Does that make sense? So the point is, it's still the same thing. Is I'm performing my duties without attachment, will give up your sinful. But I'm performing that to please Krishna, and I'm pleased in doing that for Krishna. That will be. So you're happy doing it for Krishna. So that will get rid of both. Right? But someone can only actually be Naishkarma if he's a devotee. He can actually only be happy if he's a devotee. Right? So both come from being a devotee. Right? So that makes sense? But the central point of all is he's performing his duties in both cases. Right? So to not do them to make up your own, that doesn't really fit into the plan.
It isn't specifically blown out as something glorious.
No, it's not a glorious. You can try to make it glorious, but every culture thinks they're glorious. Bhavishya Puran mentions that the Mlechas are very proud of their language.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? You know, and there's nothing really to be proud of, but they're so proud of it. Like that. Generally, the pride in them, in their language, is greater than most all others in the world. You know, of course, the French aren't to be outdone, but at least they have some grammar.
Yeah.
You know,
but they do have grammar.
Yeah. And how do you say? And by using their grammar and all that, then the ladies are pleased. While the Mlechas use all the grammar they want, and they get nothing.
It's funny. Danish is one of the simplest languages. It's also one of the most difficult to learn because the grammar is so off. You can't. You just have to keep trying until you get it. And if you haven't grown up with it,
you don't get it.
You don't get it.
Yeah.
Someone can live in Denmark for 30 years, and immediately they open their mouth, everyone knows they're from outside. And it's got 25% of the words of English. Not in the world. That's how small it is. Not a very good language.
And now you're on that.
Yes.
Okay, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Do not be afraid of bondage by karma, by enjoyment. In your previous birth, all karmas were destroyed. By experience of enjoyment, the Prarabdha Punyas will be exhausted. By pious acts, Prarabdha sins will be exhausted. Giving up your previous body, you attain me now. You are already liberated from bondage in this life. You are Jivan Mukta. It should be understood that Prahlad, like Nard and others, was partly Sadhana Siddha and partly Nitya Siddha. Footnote 46. This means they are Nitya Siddha because they are Nitya Siddha, but also take forms of sadhakas during the pastimes. Footnote by His Holiness Bhanu Swami. Yeah, it's just they may come and perform the activities of someone who's doing. So you can say if someone's a sadhana siddha, then that's the method through which they attain to the transcendental platform. Right? Now, in this case, like Prahlad Maharaj, it's being pointed out that he's actually a Nitya Siddha who comes down and plays the role of a sadhana siddha. Right? So you generally see as all the great devotees, the Nitya Siddhas, generally do this. But there are those who are not Nitya Siddhas, they're Bhadajis, but by sadhana bhakti, then they come to the platform of prema. Then they'll be a Nitya Siddha. Right? But because it's also a common practice that those who have been in the material world come and preach in the material world because they can relate to it. So then they'll come back and then act as a sadhaka too. So whether that's recognized that they're a Nitya Siddha or whether it's just recognized that they're a sadhana siddha, that doesn't matter. Does that make sense? Okay, so here's by enjoying the Prarabdha Punyas means by enjoying the facilities they have, that's facilities that is given this naturally in line with whatever would be what would be connected with their previous activities. So by using those, they're burnt up. But are they using them for material enjoyment? No. They're using them to please the Lord. Right? So this is a deeper understanding of that. So by engaging in the activities according to your nature and facilities, you're, and being, you know, comfortably doing that for the Lord, you are burning up the previous ones because they're coming from the previous lifetimes. That's what you have them now, but you're engaging in the Lord's service and you're happy doing that. You know, because one is happy doing the activities that that, you know, that one has the facility for. Right? And so then that, so you burn up that, that Prarabdha karma. And at the same time is that you're only performing pious acts and stuff, like that'll burn up the sinful. Right? So, but in both cases, it's the same thing. It's just pointing out the two aspects of one thing. By devotional service, it gets rid of both. Because you're doing it to please the Lord, so what you're doing is proper, you know, so that's connected to the sinful. And you're doing it to please the Lord, that removes that. That you're taking what you have and using it for the Lord, that burns up what's good. Right? But it's the same thing. You're taking what you have, using it in the Lord's service. Yes?
Technically, we're supposed to burn out from the karma in 100 years. Lifetime, and then the plan.
So you want to know whether we should bring in the guys with the hats to adjust the plan?
No.
No. Okay.
And then about doing the
No, the point is you absorb yourself in devotional service, and then the point is whenever one leaves the body, one thinks of Krishna, one goes back to Godhead. But the point is that you are burning them up. If you burnt them all up here and come to the pure platform, then you don't have to burn them up there. But if you haven't burned them up here, then you will burn them up there. But because you're in this spiritual, you know, form and all that, then it'll be done quite nicely. And so we discussed this morning, even if you don't do it nicely, then Krishna will arrange and it'll do it very nicely, you know, very quickly. The point is if we value the association of the devotees here, then we'll get it there. If we don't value it so much here, we may not get it there. You know, so, you know, the friends who are being practical and mercantile, how much is the value of sadhu sangha? Because it's more about being practical. So, unless that changes, then that's what will be there. They'll be practical figuring out how to get the cow dung patties on the wall. You know, just getting the practical stuff done. I got to live in this house. I got to take care. Otherwise, they'll boot me out. And if they boot me out, how am I going to serve Krishna? You know, so therefore, I have to put into this. You know, but where does the association of the eternal associates of the Lord come into that? You know, unless you invite them over to help you with the cow dung patties. Does that make sense? Yeah. So, in other words, they can say all these things, but there is something in the philosophy that may not agree with that. And so we may not see it right here, but if we're saying being practical, you have to think practical the whole thing. I mean, between where I am now and prema, if you look at that package, that's the practical package. If you only look at what's happening today, you know, it's just like the, you know, the dog seeing something interesting out in the middle of the highway. It looks important immediately, but you know, what about the, you know, the truck that's coming down the road? Right? You know, so that's the whole point. You have to. Yes. Lord Nrisingadev continued, "One who always remembers your activities and my activities also, and who chants the prayers you have offered, becomes free in due course of time from the reactions of material activities." In his Bhakti Sandarbha Anucheda 172, Srila Jiva Goswami writes, "Here Lord Nrisingadev means, they who chant your glories will become liberated. Certainly then, they whom you remember and feel compassion for will also become liberated." So, thinking about Prahlad Maharaj, discussing this section of the Bhagavatam just by that, then we can perfect, you know. And the nice part is that each section, you get that benediction, you know, like that. So, we get, you know, so there's a good chance that at least one of them will take advantage of, right? Yeah. Lord Marsh said, O Supreme Lord, because you are so merciful to the fallen souls, I ask you only for one benediction. I know that my father, at the time of his death, had already been purified by your glance upon him, but because of his ignorance of your beautiful power and supremacy, he was unnecessarily angry at you, falsely thinking that you were the killer of his brother. Thus, he directly blasphemed your lordship, the spiritual master of all living beings, and committed heavily sinful activities directed against me, your devotee. I wish that he be excused for these sinful activities. 15-17. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Previously, I prayed at your lotus feet for the deliverance of all people suffering in this world. Now, if you have given such good fortune to me, then I pray that you free one great sinner, my father's heart, one great sinner. My father's heart was contaminated with anger. Even if he is already purified by your glance, I pray out of humility to hear words of mercy from your mouth. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, My dear Prahlad, O most pure, O great saintly person, your father has been purified along with 21 forefathers in your family. Footnote 47. In his Bhakti Sandarbha Anucheda 151, paragraph 13, Srila Jiva Goswami points out that since in this kalpa, Prahlad Maharaj's line only goes back 5 generations to Lord Brahma, the rest of the 21 generations will be gathered from the previous kalpa.
Pretty sweet deal.
Yeah, because otherwise, how do you work that out? So that's the problem. Is that no, but here's this and that, and so then hey, it's the end of the world. How can devote what's good like that? Just means no. It means the previous.
So if you already have a problem trusting the authority of the Vedas, this is going to be an issue.
Yeah, it's going to be an issue. I mean, they're always worked in, yeah. Because the point is someone may be in Krishna consciousness, but are they comfortable? Right? And so it's very hard to do something that's not right unless you have an excuse.
Yes.
Right? So now if you get an excuse that it's inconsistent and all that, then you can very comfortably give up the devotional practice, like that. So Krishna will provide that. He may at first harass you so that you give up the desire for that. But if you're intent on it, then he'll give you the out. It's just, that's the... Yeah. Because you are born in this family, the entire dynasty has been purified. Whenever and wherever there are peaceful, equipoised devotees who are well behaved and decorated with all good qualities, that place and the dynasties there, even if condemned, are purified. Footnote 48. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur assigns 18 and 19 to Bhagavad Akramichi Mala, chapter 15, entitled Analysis of Favorable Conditions for Bhakti, Bhakti Anukul Vichar, which is in the Abhideya section of the Thakur's book. Okay, so here's because they're devotional, it will have benefits on everybody. Right? So the point is this mood of pure devotion, then it gives the greatest benefit. Like that. Because that's actually what the material world's meant for. Right? It's not meant for anything else. You can use it for other things, but that's not what it's meant for. Right? My dear Prahlad, king of the Daityas, right? Because he's already been crowned king, right?
Yes.
Right? Because as I said previously, he had already, yes. Because of being attached to devotional service to me, my devotee does not distinguish between lower and higher living entities. In all respects, he is never jealous of anyone. Those who follow your example will naturally become my pure devotees. You are the best example of my devotee, and others should follow in your footsteps. Footnote 49. In his purport, Srila Prabhupada reveals, of the 12 authorized devotees, Lord Brahma, Narad, Lord Shiva, Kapila, Manu, and so on, Prahlad Maharaj is understood to be the best example.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Means they're all great Mahajans. But for the example that we should follow, that we can learn from, Prahlad Maharaj is the best.
Because of the circumstances.
Right. So that's why you know, when it says that, you know, Prahlad is the example of pure devotion or pure devotee, like that. It doesn't mean that others aren't, you know, pure devotees, but he's the example that we should follow.
His story best illustrates.
Yes, his story best illustrates. Like that. Right? You know, especially in the contemporary environment where people grow up in, you know, how you say, single parent, you know, families where, you know, there's a lot of, you know, things don't go right, then hey, it works really good. My dear child, your father has already been purified just by the touch of my body at the time of his death. Nonetheless, the duty of a son is to perform the Shraddha ritualistic ceremony after his father's death, so that his father may be promoted to a planetary system where he may become a good citizen and devotee. After performing the ritualistic ceremonies, take charge of your father's kingdom. Sit upon the throne and do not be disturbed by materialistic activities. Please keep your mind fixed upon me, without transgressing the injunctions of the Vedas. As a matter of formality, you may perform your particular duties. Right? So you don't do anything that's wrong, and you just do what's right as a formality. Right? In other words, what's wrong is avoided, and what's right is only done out of a formality. Right? But the whole point is to not be distracted by material desires and to be always absorbed in Krishna. That's the whole point. Right? So in this way, then, like Prahlad, he becomes an example of how we can do it, because he has unfortunate material situations. You know, he remains Krishna conscious. He interacts with the Lord in a proper Krishna conscious way, you know, in a pure way. And he'll go on and perform his duties, you know, in a pure way, always being absorbed in the Lord. But the duties he's performing, we can't just say, oh, well, you know, he goes to the forest and, you know, doesn't do anything, but I got to take care of a family and this and that. Prahlad's a king. You know, family's got to take care of a whole kingdom. And his subjects are demons. Right? So, you know, we can't say that, oh, my situation's worse, right? Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Okay, so we'll end here.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki,
Jai
Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki,
Jai
Chaitanya Gaura Premanandi.